Proverbs 25, there is a study sheet in your board attended tonight. Proverbs 25. Find your study sheet, please. Proverbs is such a practical book, filled with all kinds of advice. God's wisdom gives us many practical lessons how to live life. Recently, I read through the book of Proverbs, chapter by chapter. I wrote a lesson on each chapter from my Bible studies at the Good News Mission. This is one of them. How to be a good neighbor, from Proverbs 25. How to be a good neighbor, Proverbs 25. Number one, resolve our problems peacefully. Resolve our problems peacefully. Romans 12:18 says, as much as possible, live peacefully with all men. Resolve our problems peacefully. Notice Proverbs 25, verse 8 says, go not forth hastily to strife, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof. Don't start some feud or fight with some neighbor. Settle the matter quickly, peacefully. He says, go not forth to strife. Go not forth hastily to strife, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor has put thee to shame, to embarrassment. Verse number 9, debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself. Discover not thy secret to another. Don't tell all your other neighbors about your proper neighbor. Keep your mouth quiet, shut. Verse 10 says, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, you are embarrassed. In thy infamy, your bad reputation turns not away, lives a long time. Now, resolve our problems peacefully. Don't make a mountain out of the molehill. Don't do anything until you consider the results or the possibilities. Like the story Jesus told of the king who went to war, did not have enough money to finish the war. Don't start something you can't settle. Don't meddle in affairs that are not your own affairs. Don't meddle in those. Like Josiah, we read about 2 Kings 23. The Pharaoh from Egypt was on his way to fight against Nebuchadnezzar. Josiah challenged the Pharaoh of Egypt. Josiah lost the war, lost his life. He made up in something that was not his business. Now, your lesson sheet, never, never threaten a lawsuit. Never, never threaten a lawsuit or try to settle issues in a court of law. Eric, I'm not trying to keep business away from you. Never, never threaten a lawsuit or try to settle issues in a court of law. Find Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Notice verses 25, 26. Matthew 5, 25. It says, agree with thy adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. In other words, settle issues quickly and peacefully, because you do not know how they will turn out. Verse 26, verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. You may have to pay a whole lot of money to settle the issue. Listen, friends, better to lose your money and your possessions and to lose your testimony. A lot better to lose your money and your possessions than to lose your testimony. You know, only person who ever wins in situations like that is the devil himself. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here's some good instruction for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 1. Dare any of you, means don't you dare do this. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust, the unsaved, not before the saints, the believers at church. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world, and if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Verse 3, know you not that we should judge angels, how much more the things that pertain to this life? If ye then have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are the least esteemed in the church. I speak this to your shame, shame of you. He's saying, it is so that if it, I speak this to your shame, he says, so that there is not a wise man among you, no, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goes to law with his brother, and that before the unbelievers, that's wrong to do. Christians are not to take other Christians to court. You should settle those matters in the local church. Three reasons here. Number one, because believers, we believers would judge the world. Verse number two, do you not know that saints should judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Christians should not take other Christians to court because believers will judge the world. Reason number two, because believers will judge angels. Verse number three, know you not that we should judge angels, how much more the things that pertain to this life? The third reason is because the unsaved judges, unsaved juries cannot make spiritual decisions. Verse number six, but brother go to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Remember in the Old Testament in Genesis when last herdsman got in the argument with Abraham's herdsman. Abraham did not say, God, we're going to court to settle this. No, no. Abraham said, you choose what you want. I'll take what's left. Who came out losing all? Not Abraham, because God blessed him. So we resolve all purpose peacefully. Let's come back to Proverbs 25 for the next one. Let your words be appropriate. Number two is let your words be appropriate. In Proverbs 25, verse number 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pieces of silver. The word fitly means suitable or appropriate. The right word spoken in the right way at the right time is appropriate. The right word spoken at the right time in the right way is like a valuable piece of art displayed in a costly setting. If you took a very expensive piece of art, put it in a cardboard setting, that would be inappropriate. Our words are to be appropriate, to say the right thing in the right way at the right time. Even Jesus, when he answered his critics, his enemies, he always spoke words that were appropriate. And Boaz, we read about him in the book of Ruth, Boaz spoke words of comfort, words of encouragement to Ruth and others. Abigail's words to David calmed down his temper, but her husband, Nabal, spoke words that stirred up wrath and anger. We must say the right things in the right way at the right time. Let's go to James chapter number 3. James chapter number 3, please. James chapter number 3. James speaks a lot about our words that come out of the mouth. In fact, in James chapter 1, verse 26, he says something like this. If a man cannot control his tongue, his religion is vain. If you can't control your tongue, your religion is vain. James chapter 3, here we learn about the uncontrolled tongue. The uncontrolled tongue is like a destroying fire. It's like a dangerous beast. It's like a deadly poison. Notice that in verses 3 and following. James 3, verse 3, behold, we put beasts in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be great, and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor, the captain, listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it did fire out the whole body, and set on fire the course of nature, and it set on fire of hell. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Verse 9, therewith blessed we God, even the Father, therewith cursed we men, which are made after the similar truth of God, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing, cursing. My brother, these things are not to be so. So we learn from those verses, the uncontrolled tongue is like a destroying fire, like a dangerous animal, like a deadly poison. Don't control your tongue. Let your words be appropriate. Back to Proverbs 25, please. We get the third one here. Let your words be helpful. Let your words be helpful. Verse number 13, Proverbs 25, verse 13. Says, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that sent him. For he refreshes the soul of his masters. It was a custom in the hot summertime to get that snow, to put the beverage in the snow to make it cold, like having a glass of iced tea on a hot summer day. Who wants a glass of iced tea tonight? It's too cold. Pastor always picks a good time to go away. Okay. Every time we get cold weather and snow, he's gone. A refreshing beverage, iced beverage on hot days, so refreshing. Make sure your words are helpful. You don't have to rant and rave and shout and threaten and call people names. That's all out of order. Remember, Nabal did that. He was called a fool for speaking that way. Words can inflame. They can insult. They can be helpful. They can heal. Look at Colossians chapter 4, verse number 6. Colossians 4, verse number 6 says, let your speech be always with grace. Grace is undeserved favor. You say, well, they don't deserve to hear these words. Yes, they do. They deserve to hear you speak calmly to them. They deserve to hear helpful words. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. It does not say, let your speech be with salt, so give up those sarcastic remarks. Seasoned means to be helpful. The right word at the right time in the right way is helpful. Words can be helpful or hurtful. Words can hinder or heal. Our words should build up people. They should lift up people. Our words should build up, edify people. Our words should lift up people and encourage them. Someone wrote this, a careless word may kindle strife, a cruel word may wreck a life, a timely word may lessen strife, a loving word may heal and bless. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away one class. The rest of the verse says, but grievous words stir up anger. Here's a good prayer to pray every day. Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. Here's another good prayer to pray every day. Psalm 19, verse 14. May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be pleasing in you, be acceptable. Easier to say pleasing in your sight, O Lord. Now let's go on here. Number 4. How to be a good neighbor, number 4. Keep all your promises. Keep all your promises. Verse number 14, Proverbs 25. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. On the summer day, the clouds come over. The wind begins to blow. You say it's going to rain. The clouds pass on. Does not rain. They promised. Something as the old Indian saying was, heap big wind, no rain. Some people boast of things, they make promises they cannot keep. You should keep all your promises. In the Old Testament book of Kings, we read about Ahab the king who had a prophet, a windbag for a prophet. His name was Zedekiah. He kept talking and talking and talking and said nothing. He told Ahab, he promised Ahab if he went to war, he would prosper, he would have peace. That did not come true. It was like that. That wind and the rain that promised something. He could not keep his promises. You ought to be a person of your word. Keep all your promises. Keep your word. be a man or woman of your word. In James chapter 5, verse number 12, the Bible says, but above all these things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven nor by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Be a person of your word. Keep your word. Every neighbor should know that you keep your promises. Your word should be your bond. Keep your promises. Now let's come back to the study sheet. Number five, back to Proverbs 25. Number five in the study sheet. Don't be a neighborhood pest. Don't be a neighborhood pest. Verse number 17, Proverbs 25, 17 says, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house. Leave at the right time, lest he be weary of thee. He gets tired of you, and so hates you, wish you would leave. That's a kind of bad situation. To be in, to go to your neighbor's house to stay too long, he wishes you would leave sometime. Don't overstay your welcome. John Phillips, in his book on the Proverbs, tells about a lady who came to visit he and his wife. She says she came for a short visit. She stayed for one whole week. She kept talking and talking and talking. They wondered, is she ever going to leave? You don't want to be in that kind of situation. Even when you go soul winning, don't stay too long. You should leave so that people want you to come back, not the same part. Hope he does not come back and he never leaves. Don't be a neighborhood pest. Number six, don't be a troublemaker. Don't be a troublemaker. Verse number 18, which says, a man that bears false witness against his neighbor is a maul like a sledgehammer, and a sword and a sharp arrow. I like all these word pictures in this whole Proverbs 25. A man that bears false witness against his neighbor is a maul like a sledgehammer, a sword, and a sharp arrow. Those things hurt and harm, wound and kill. So don't be a troublemaker. Lying and gossiping, slander, and evil speaking are all like weapons of war that hurt, do great damage. Remember the fellow by the name of Mephibosheth that David brought to show kindness to. Mephibosheth had a servant whose name was Ziba. Ziba lied to David about Mephibosheth and caused him great trouble. As he became a troublemaker, he did not speak nicely. Ephesians 4:26 says, "No, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor means quarreling. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you. Put it away. Get rid of it. Don't be a troublemaker. Number seven, be dependable. Be dependable. Verse number 19. Here's a good picture, word picture. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. How many of you ever had a broken tooth? You can't chew on that thing. It's not dependable. If you have a foot that's out of joint, you can't walk on it. It's undependable. Be dependable. In the last chapters of 2 Kings, last chapters of 2 Chronicles, in the book of Jeremiah, we read about one of the last kings in Judah. His name was Jeconiah. When Nebuchadnezzar was threatening to come against Jerusalem, the Pharaoh of Egypt promised Jeconiah he would come and help him. But when Jeconiah needed his help, he never came. He was unreliable, undependable. Actually, Jeconiah spent the rest of his life in prison in Babylon because the Pharaoh of Egypt was unreliable, not dependable. Be faithful. Be faithful in everything. Be faithful in your service to God. Be faithful in your ministry. You better be faithful. Church attendance, pastor will get you. Be faithful to the church in attendance. Be faithful in business. Be faithful in marriage. The Bible says it's required as stewards to be found. What's the word class? Faith of the 1 Corinthians 4:2. In Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto what? Death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So, are you a good neighbor? Are you a good neighbor? Do you settle matters peacefully? Are your words appropriate? Are your words helpful? Are you a troublemaker? Are you a neighborhood pest? Or do you keep your promises? Are you dependable? With God's help, you can be all you should be. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God can help you to be a good neighbor. Ask Him for help. Maybe there's some matter you need to repair. Some fence needs to be mended between you and someone else, not your little fence between you and your neighbor. Some matter that needs to be settled. Let's stand together, please. Ask God to speak to your heart. Ask God to help you to be a good neighbor.